You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
You know, this Friday is all about the importance of Christ that died on the cross, but that there's a possibility for us to be transformed, to change. People want to change. Everybody's got something in their life that they want to change, that they're trusting God for. And Jesus came to help you so that your life can be transformed. When we identify with what Jesus did on the cross, when we believe what was done on the cross, by faith, it has an impact upon all of us. Amen? The Bible says nobody fully understood what God the Father was busy with. From a natural point of view, even the disciples lost heart. They thought God had died. But God the Father was at peace, busy with the salvation plan of mankind. So when you look from a natural point of view, you think, oh, the devil won. 1 Corinthians 2:7 even says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. They didn't know what was happening. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Remember, when man sinned, the devil had legal right in our lives. A matter of fact, the Bible says in Romans 8 verse 2, there's two laws against us as mankind. The law of sin and the law of death. The law of sin and the law of death. And he says that which the law could not do, Jesus Christ came and he did. Over this weekend, he deals with sin and he deals with death. Today, sin is dealt with by Jesus dying on the cross. He absorbed the curse. He became our sin, and he dealt with sin legally. And Sunday is going to deal with death through resurrection power. Amen? So many people just accept the Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me my sins, but they never walk in the resurrection power. But that's what Jesus Christ came to do. One man sinned, and through one man, offense entered into this world. And that's why God sent his son, one man, Jesus Christ, to become the substitute, to die in our place. 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Family, listen to me. This weekend is not just about God dealing with our sin, but you can now live for righteousness. The cross releases power into our lives that we can live for righteousness. Turn to the person next to you and say, live for righteousness. This was the plan of God right from the beginning. Let me say, his divine plan from the beginning. When you read through the Old Testament, everything is pointing to what Jesus would do. Isaiah prophesied, I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. He said, he sprouted up like a tender plant before the Lord, like a root in parched soil. That hard ground, remember Jesus wrote with his finger in the ground. That's the law. He grew up in that. He possessed no distinguishing beauty or outward splendor to catch our attention. Nothing to look at. Nothing special in his appearance to make us desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of deep sorrows who was no stranger to suffering and grief. We hid our faces from him in disgust and considered him a nobody, not worthy of respect. Yet he was the one who carried our sickness and endured the torment of our sufferings. We viewed him as one who was being punished for something he himself had done, as one who was struck down by God and brought low. But it was because of our rebellious deeds that he was pierced, and because of our sins that he was crushed. He endured the punishment that made us completely whole, and in his wounding, we found our healing. Don't say the people 2,000 years ago did that to Jesus. We are the ones who rejected him. who wanted nothing to do with him, that didn't even know that we needed a savior. But God the Father said, I'm going to send Jesus. He was sinless, but he became our sin. Every bad thing that you've done, Jesus died for. Every sin that you will commit in the future, Jesus died for. This, what Jesus did for us, was much more than just a physical death, but it was a spiritual death. Jesus died on the cross twice. He physically died on the cross, but before he died physically, he died spiritually to teach us that sin is spiritual. Spiritual thing out there. Legally, we all had to die because all of us had sinned and had fallen short of the glory of God. That's why Christ came as an individual to die in our place. Think about this. Because we sinned, we were separated from God. Sin separates us from God. That's why Jesus, when he came and he became sin, he was separated from God. He said, oh, my Father, why have you forsaken me? So that you can be one with God. You know what is one of the things that are so heartsore, that when I think about it, that one day people will look into the eyes of Jesus and see his love and see his forgiveness and see that he doesn't keep anything against them. But in their hearts, they will know they never lived for righteousness. They never chose him. Turn to the person next to you. Say, you have no excuse. You know, when Jesus said, it is finished, what he was saying is, he was saying all the legal requirements that had to be met for people to be one with God again, I've done it. Every accusation that could be kept against him, I've legally removed it. It is finished. Can I have one amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So he never sinned, but he became sin. We were never righteous, but we become God's righteousness when we believe what Jesus has done for us. Jesus took our place and paid the price in full. But the Bible says, do you believe it? Isaiah said, whose report will you believe? Do you believe that God has paid the price in full for you? This is what it's all about this weekend. He took our sin, he took our sickness, our pain, broken hearts, whatever you could go through, Jesus took it upon himself. Not murmuring, not complaining, but for the joy set before him, you and me, he endured the cross. Let me say this, there's nothing ordinary about this weekend. A matter of fact, the cross is radical. Turn to the person next to you, say, the cross is radical. It's radical. What Jesus did is radical for us. The cross will confront everything in you. You know, the thing that I've realized as a pastor, as I've been ministering for more than 2 decades, is that there's the old rugged cross. That's where Jesus died for us. And then there's a new cross that's being preached. Let me call it the golden nice cross. You know, you would never ever find anybody 2,000 years ago with a cross around their neck because of what the cross symbolized. But today we've made it something beautiful. The old cross, the old rugged cross, there was power in it. But this golden cross, it just wants to entertain people. The old rugged cross dealt with people's sins. The golden cross manages your sin. The old cross is a cross that gives glory to God alone for what he has done. This golden cross that preachers preach, they want to be acknowledged for what I'm doing and the price that I'm paying to preach the cross. I'm the man of God. old cross destroyed confidence in self. The new cross promotes confidence in self. Very quiet now. I want to tell you, if you want your life to go to a new level in Christ Jesus, there's no options, but I'll give you the two options that you have. The one option is you can run away from the cross. Or the second option is you can die on the cross. Can I have just one amen? Remember, there's no such thing as a half-crucified Christian. You're either fully crucified or you're not. The cross was never about combining our strength with Jesus' strength. Amen? Turn to the person that you say, it's not about combining strengths, but it's about being crucified. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. In Him, I have shared His crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ the Messiah lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in, by adherence to, and radiance on, and complete trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. It's all about exchanging natures. Christ's nature ability becoming yours. Christ taking our sin upon Him, and we take His righteousness upon us. The big thing about the cross is, let me say, who wants to experience resurrection power? Raise your hand. Everybody wants resurrection power. But there's no resurrection power without crucifixion. I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ means I died with Him. And when you've died to something, then you're not alive to it anymore. People that are alive to things respond differently to people that are dead to something. If you desire resurrection power, then Scripture makes it very clear that the same level that you will experience crucifixion and die to yourself is the degree that you will experience resurrection power. Philippians 3 verse 10 says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. What does it mean to be crucified with Christ? What does it mean to identify with or have fellowship with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, to become one when it comes to that? You have to die to yourself. Let me see, who have some problems with the flesh, your old man? Who of you sometimes get angry? Upset? A.W. Tozer says the following about a person that's been crucified with Christ. Would you like to know what to do to be crucified with Christ? Let me see your hand. Who's excited about Easter Friday? Easter Friday is about Jesus dying. But for us to experience new life, He wants us to die with Him. So here are some things. A.W. Tozer says, he says, number one, the man on the cross is facing only one direction. He cannot look back. He's facing forward, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of his faith, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in him, with him, and through him. So if you've been crucified with Christ, you're looking forward. That means, number two, you cannot look back. The man on the cross cannot look back. Turn to the person next to you, say, your past is over. When you're on the cross, you're saying goodbye to the old life. You know, I once heard somebody say, I'm a Christian and I live for God, but sometimes there's some things I have to do in my own strength. See, sometimes when I go into the boardroom, I say, Jesus, just stay outside now. I have to go deal with some things on the inside. It's not a matter of combining your strength with His strength, but not looking back to the old man anymore. Then, lastly, number three, he has no further plans of his own. What do I mean? He says, God, your will, not my will. Where you've placed me in this career, in this business, Lord, your will. In my family, not my will, your will. Because the cross had one purpose, and that was to conform you to its agenda, and that was to die. Hey, no, I don't like that. Sometimes I want to do things my way, amen? Because we think we know better than God. But if we want to live the crucified life, we have to die to ourselves. You know, when we started the church, the Lord said to me, spoke to me, he said, you came from a warring camp, but I'm making you a man of peace. It will be like a David's army, not because of all the battles you'll fight, but because of the mighty men and women that I'll bring. Run in your lane and let them run in their lane. What was God just saying to me? He says, I want you to be a man of peace. To be a man of peace, you have to kill the flesh. Because our nature, just go on Facebook and see how people are sorting each other out. We live in a society of men and women of war. You want a piece of me? Let's go. But where are the men and women of peace? Am I talking to the right people here? Sometimes you feel like you want to sort somebody out. When that old nature says, something whispers in your ear, do you want a piece of me? Or that old nature, step over there, just step, let me just. You know where I come from? You think I was born a pastor? That's the old nature speaking, amen. When you accept the sacrifice, it releases power on the inside of you. Because the flesh cannot please God. A matter of fact, flesh cannot appear in the presence of God. It must die, and it will die. That's why God is not looking for those with elegant voices. Yes, sing skillfully and do things beautifully, but he's looking at a heart that will worship him in spirit and in truth. The question is, can you accept the sacrifice that Jesus died for you? And number two, can you allow yourself to be sacrificed with Christ? Romans 8 verse 3, the Amplified says, for God has done what the law could not do. You doing everything right, you being Mr. Perfect or Madame Perfect, didn't do it. It says, for that which the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit. So Jesus came and he died so that the Holy Spirit can work in us and with us and through us. Go read Galatians 3 verse 14. The promise that was made to Abraham was the Holy Spirit. Sending his son in the guise of sinful flesh and as an offering of sin, God condemned sin in the flesh. Subdued, overcame, deprived it of its power over all who accept that sacrifice. So do you want sin to stop working in your life? Accept the sacrifice. Do you want to live a life that will please God? Be crucified with Christ. Jesus came in the flesh to condemn sin, to rule over sin. You know, this is just me. This is my old thing. There's no old thing in Christ Jesus. Everything has become new. If we're going to accept the sacrifice on the cross, there's no more excuses for bad behavior, for willfully sinning. Can I just say this? It's not just the cross that not just deal with your sin, but it deals with a sinner. Amen, amen, amen. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, become one with him, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. You know, if that old nature wants to stand up, it's because it wants to get off the cross. When the Bible says, I've been crucified with Christ, I no longer live. You know, I once saw this example and it meant so much to me. How do you crucify yourself on the cross? There's a certain part where you can take the nail and put it through your feet. Kung, 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 kung. Then if you're really tough, you can push the one nail through your hand. and take the hammer and put it there. And then you can do the right one. But guess, what about this one? Who's going to do that? You're going to have to ask your wife. Wife, can you please do this for me? Or you're going to have to ask your best friend to do this. Or sometimes your boss will do it. See, you only get one amen. My boss, no, my boss is the devil. No, your boss is not a devil. Your boss is not your enemy. Sin is your enemy. And if you want to live a victorious life, you're going to have to ask somebody. And sometimes the best person to do that or that's going to do that is the person that's the closest to you. Say, Einar. Let me see, ever anybody here, any husbands who's ever had your wife just kill your flesh a little bit? Any husbands, your wife killed your flesh a little bit? Jesus didn't just deal with the sin. He deals with the old man, the old nature. Amen? Am I talking to the right people here on Easter Friday? When you've been crucified with Christ, you've been freed from sin. This is the work that God has done. When you've been crucified with Christ, you've been freed from sin. The old man has been crucified. Old man used to fight a lot and always wants to win arguments. New man wants a heart with a good conscience towards God and the people around him. God strengthens us and sets us free, not by strengthening the old man, but by killing it. Can I have one amen? We don't want to, you know, when you have to die to yourself, it's not nice. And the whole community is built around comfort. How do I feel? Make me feel good. This is the problem in the church today. We say, I want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm enrolling in the army of God. Then we say, to what spa are we going that we can just have a good time? I'm going to close with this in conclusion. Jesus came to deal with sin and death in your life. And legally, he's dealt with it. The enemy cannot point a finger to you anymore. God the Father was busy with such a great, amazing job. Not only did he send his son to die on the cross, to become our substitute and guarantor that sin has been dealt with, he now made Jesus the advocate to represent us. You know what that means? Jesus is your senior counsel when the enemy wants to accuse you of anything. Let me explain that to you. When you do anything wrong and there's an accusation against you, when you run to the Father or you run to Jesus and you say, forgive me of my sins, your sins are forgiven. He says, I know the price has been paid in full because I paid the price. That's like somebody that come and say, you have to pay $1 billion to be set free from jail. And Jesus said, I know I've paid it. I've got the receipt. I've got the scars. I've paid it. So if you come and you say, sorry, when you go to 1 John 1 verse 8, he says, if anybody says that they have no sin, they're lying. He says, but if you come to the Father and you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness so that you can be in right standing. He says, but so you're not supposed to sin because you've been set free from sin. But if you sin, relax, don't worry. Jesus is your advocate. 1 John 1:9. Or let me go to 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't sin. Let me just tell you that you were never designed to be a sinner. You were designed to be a saint. And sin has been dealt with. But the way that we have victory over sin is by being crucified with Christ. He says, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, let me see, anybody sin? Raise your hand. He says, but if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. We have senior counsel in front of the great judge. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So if you make a mistake, don't worry. Jesus died on the cross for it. But run to him. Don't run away from him. And go say sorry and repent quickly. Have a humble heart, a sincere heart to say, Lord, forgive me. Not, I didn't do anything wrong. They did something wrong. That's wrong. Well, let's discuss it. What is wrong? You know, no. Have a heart that is quick to repent. We need revelation to understand what is this great work that God has done for us. Not only did Jesus remove your sin, the legal requirements that was against you, but now he's representing you in everything. The advocate is the one who paid the price in full. I want to read the Passion Translation, 1 John 2:1. Look at this. You are my dear children, and I write these things to you so that you won't sin. Then to the person next to you say, stop sinning. Jesus died on the cross. He didn't die on the cross to manage your sin. He died on the cross to deal with your sin. But if anyone does sin, we continually have a forgiving Redeemer who is face to face with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Your senior counsel is the son of the judge. That's serious connections. If you've ever been in court and you've got connections like that, you know things are going to go your way. Amen. Not only is he the son of the judge, but he is the son who paid the price in full. So he's sitting there with the receipt to represent you. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Can I say our response on Easter Friday should just be, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and making a way. Thank you, Father, for allowing your Son to come to this earth to die for me, that I don't have to die. Thank you for becoming sin so that I can live for righteousness. Grant unto me revelation that what Jesus has done on the cross is a complete work, and help me to live for righteousness. And if you are battling to live for righteousness, just ask him, help me, Lord, show me the way how to be crucified with Christ, that I no longer live, no longer get upset, no longer do this, no longer do that, but that you start to live in me and with me and through me. See you later.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.